Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu.
With a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
Our reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
A light shone down on us. A star of hope shines bright.
Oscar Wilde writes, "Yes, I'm a dreamer. For a dreamer is one who can only find his way by moonlight. And his punishment is that he sees the dawn before the rest of the world." It's why we gather in the midst of Advent underneath the stars. It's the moonlight that lights our way as we move toward the mystery and the beauty and the depth of Christmas. Isaiah was that kind of a dreamer. Isaiah was one who walked by the moonlight. It must have felt like punishment for Isaiah at moments in his life to see the dawn and to name it before the rest of the world could. That's what Advent is all about. If you travel around anywhere today, the world is pretty sure that the dawn has arrived. We're in the midst of Christmas with lights and packages and bows wrapped beautifully everywhere. But folks who follow Jesus know that we need time to get ready for the mystery of Christmas. And that's how the folks that have followed Jesus for all of these generations have created a season of getting ready. We call it Advent. It comes from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming. And we move into this season of preparation, this season of coming. For 4 weeks, we began together walking in the light, reflecting on what it might look like to beat our swords into plowshares. Many of us in the room learned for the very first time what a plowshare is. And we could see right before us a sword transformed into one. And then last week, we reflected on the ways that God turns to us and calls us to turn back to God. And this morning, we imagine the way of Advent. You might have seen it in our dancers. First, they were walking, and then they were turning, and then they were imagining. Next Sunday, we'll gather together to reflect on the way of Advent as love. But this morning, we reflect on how we're called to walk in the moonlight, and way that that might take us toward the dawn of Christmas. But I want to say that Isaiah was no naive dreamer. Not at all. Isaiah's context, the poem that Sarah read for us, this is to a people who had known what it's like to walk by moonlight. They knew dark nights of the soul. They were captives from Babylon, and they'd returned to Zion a long time ago, but the disappointments had never left them. Judah was the place where they were living, and it was under prolonged devastations. New oppressions had overtaken them. It was bleak, and it's into that bleakness that the poet speaks a word of hope, retrieves this old vision, this ancient vision of a highway being born in the middle of the desert. It's a promise that God seeks to fulfill and the prophet tries to name. But Isaiah does it in a way that the ancient promise, Isaiah opens it up. It's broader, it's deeper, and it's more finely true, some would say. I'd say that Isaiah could see the dawn before the rest of the world. He was a dreamer, and he named it. Waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. Can those of us with hurting hearts imagine a highway in the middle of the bleakness? For those of us that touch despair and devastation in our lives, can we imagine a holy way lit by moonlight? We've been singing about it this whole Advent season through the music of the Brilliance. This is the song that we're going to sing during our prayer. Lost and weary traveler, searching for the way to go. Stranger, heavy-hearted, longing for someone you know. May you find a light to guide you home. That's God's ancient promise for us, for the people of God, to find our way home. That God is going to come showing us that light, taking us home. Yet the truth is, sometimes it feels dim, even overwhelming. And so we go back to those ancient promises of God to try to find a light to guide us home. This week, we saw a movie that we want to share with you. It's about 4 minutes long. And it's by Hungarian filmmakers. It's called The Boy. And they take the ancient promise and they bring it to life in what I find to be one of the most provocative ways that you can imagine. Now, our projector is not perfect, so it's going to look even more gritty on our screen than it does when you watch it when you go home, and I encourage you to watch it when you get home. So let's watch this ancient story of an unwed couple trying to make their way on a highway, trying to make their way on a holy way, finding some shepherds, God coming into the world in the place that people least expected it. No one imagined an unwed teen girl could give birth to something holy out in the middle of nowhere. In a truck is the way we're going to see it. So let's watch. a wandering couple and a truck driver, a tile floor in a dingy rest stop in the middle of nowhere. God is coming to prepare a way. Imagine where we're supposed to look for God to come and prepare this way. Imagine where we're supposed to look to see God being born this day, where those barren and dry places are created as new space by God and prepared for you and for me and for all of creation to move toward that holy city. Imagine looking to the margins for how God is going to come alive this day. But some of us would say that, like, the promised Emmanuel has already come. Like, we don't need a truck stop in the middle of nowhere. We already had a stop out in Bethlehem. The story's finished. Why sing, O come, Emmanuel? Like, God already came. We don't need Advent. Let's just move right back to Christmas and say it already happened. Full stop. But that's not our story. It never has been our story. See, our story is that God comes into the world in the fullness of a newborn baby that cries out to an unwed teen mom in the middle of nowhere, and that is our hope. And yet, it ends without resolve. It's a poem that ends with a semicolon, and then it keeps going. Because we all know that there's still work to be done, that God is still alive and moving in the world today, bringing hope to the hopeless. That story is ours, and that promise is ours to live into and to hold on to and to be carried away by. We don't have to look very hard to know the harshness of the world, that the fullness of God's image for how we are to be is yet completed. You don't have to look further than our Christmas offering. You don't have to look further than the campaign of the United Methodist Church to imagine no malaria. And so we're going to do that for just a moment. We're going to look together at some of the places that God might be calling us to be hope for the hopeless, to bring new life. Let's watch.
Malaria is bleeding a continent, draining the lifeblood of a people and its future dry. Every 45 seconds, the death of a child. Cow dung is burned, a hopeful antidote for the mosquito's bite. And still they die, millions of lives needlessly lost each year. A fragile and vital imprint of humanity. A continent, entire nations slipping away, slipping through life's precious net. Unless you hear the buzzing inside of you, the unmistakable and until now barely audible call to get involved, to give, to imagine a world with no malaria, and then engage with thousands of others across the globe, making it real. Medicine. Communications. Infrastructure. Outreach. Healing. Sustaining life one person at a time. Finding meaning and purpose for ourselves and others in return.
It's time we all join hands with Africa on a personal mission to heal. Imagine no malaria, then make it real. Over a million lives we're going to save, but only if you get involved today. The bed nets have been cast, but people can't slip through. Listen to the buzz inside of you.
The bite of malaria doesn't have to kill, but only if you stop it. Imagine no malaria. Imagine saving millions of lives.
That's in part why we sing, O come, Emmanuel, because we long for God with us, to be with us in fullness. For lives that die unnecessarily, to brim with hope. We imagine a highway from devastation and rejoicing. We imagine no malaria, and it's not just out there. We don't have to go halfway around the world to know that God's promise is yet fulfilled. In just a few weeks, 120 adults will make this their home because they don't have a home. We will welcome folks with reprieve from the cold, and our community of faith will offer hospitality. You might have read, another church was hosting Winter Sanctuary a couple weeks ago, and a mom gave birth to a baby at that church. I don't think it had the script and the fanfare that the folks in Hungary did when they crafted this story. And I don't know if it'll be resolved. It feels to me like it's an unresolved story. Can we imagine a city in which every person is housed, in which every child is born into loving arms with a stable home overhead? And then, as housing isn't an issue, as every child is housed, then can we turn to our schools? 26 bells chimed in remembrance of 20 school children and 6 educators who died a year ago in shootings in Newtown. And a young person opens arms on people in a school outside of Denver. Some of you will remember that 25 years ago, just south of here in Stockton, is where all of that atrocity began, Cleveland Elementary School. In Salon Magazine, Karen Weiss writes, "Of the 25 worst mass shootings in the world in the past 50 years, guess how many happened in the United States? Of the 25 worst in the last 50 years, I don't know, maybe in the whole world, maybe 5, maybe 6, 15 happened in our country. Finland came in second with 2. Imagine parents who don't have to fear when they drop their daughters off at school. Imagine teenage boys going to school without the threat of lockdowns. Imagine schools without bullying and classrooms that are really safe for everyone, and all means all. So with housing for every person and schools that are truly safe and dynamic, we can turn because we know that human hearts everywhere, including our own, sigh. See, families approach Christmas, too many families approach Christmas with anxiety and fear because the old wounds reemerge around those vulnerable times, around what we call the holidays. Tired patterns, they feel unbreakable. And so we run headlong into them, wanting to figure out different ways to relate to the ones that we want to love the most. This is God's ancient promise for us. Homes filled with love. Children laughing. Parents holding each other. Grandparents with a sense of place and a sense of purpose. That's God's ancient promise. It's making a highway, a holy way for us to travel home. In the midst of what feels bleak and uncertain, God lures us along a holy way we call Advent, calling us to be strong and to trust that God is coming. How do we imagine God preparing that way? This is how Isaiah says it. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. And this is where I want to just throw the whole thing out. When I read in Isaiah that this is how God is going to come with vengeance, it just doesn't sound like good news to me. I prefer the image of God coming as a vulnerable child to this girl and then crying out for humanity to respond. That image of God luring us toward love and hope, not a God that arrives with judgment. There was a blog that helped me to think about this week. Hendrik Peels writes about how the Hebrew word translated here as vengeance, it actually refers to retribution by a legitimate authority. And that's a little bit different than vengeance. Vengeance is an artful translation of it. But retribution that brings liberation to the oppressed, and that's the context of what's happening in Isaiah. Folks whose hearts are breaking, who long for freedom, who are oppressed, are in need of restoration. So to me, it makes a lot more sense in following this that here is your God. God will come with restorative justice. Now restorative justice is different than vengeance to me. When I think of God coming with vengeance, I think we all better get out of the way. When I think of God coming with restorative justice, I think that those that are hurting are going to be made whole. And those that have been hurting others are going to be called to transform. That's God's kind of judgment. It's a judgment that says the injustice of this world is not okay with God, and that's real judgment. But the vengeance, the restorative justice comes as God brings those together around a table and heals, restores. Be strong, do not fear. Imagine restorative justice. Because it's not possible for everyone to walk on the holy way as they are. For those with fearful hearts to walk safely, offenders will need to be changed. That's a full stop, period. And Isaiah is clear about that. God's judgment against our offenses is necessary to make room on the holy way for salvation. That's the hope that God brings to us. That's the hope that's coming among us. That's the Advent way that requires injustices and offenses to fade away so that there might be room for all along the holy way where the redeemed walk together. So I want to say it one more time. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. God will come with restorative justice. Expect God's response. God is coming to save you. That's the holy way in the desert. That's how God is going to come among us. It's a highway that we least expect it, where truckers are passing by at a rest stop, at a place that we least imagine anything divine taking shape. And for it to happen, those truckers are going to have to make space, like those long ago shepherds. And danger is never going to be far away. You heard it in the sirens. It ends in a semicolon. It doesn't resolve. But God is coming into the world to turn the world upside down and to make all things new. That's God's way. And God longs for us to imagine how we will respond. And to be sure, they're going to say that we're crazy. And at times it's going to feel like punishment to say that in spite of all this, we are imagining God's restoration, God's loving justice, God's beauty being born. That is the holy way for us to walk. It is God's way. I want to close with a Brazilian theologian and educator with a poem that he writes. What is hope? It is the presentiment that imagination is more real and reality is less real than it looks. It is the hunch that the overwhelming brutality of facts that oppress and repress us is not the last word. It is the suspicion that reality is more complex than the realists want us to believe. That the frontiers of the possible are not determined by the limits of the actual. And in a miraculous and unexplained way, life is opening up creative events which will open the way to freedom and resurrection. God is being born in those margins, and God calls us along the holy way to imagine new ways of being. Yes, we're dreamers. For dreamers are the ones who can only find their way by moonlight. And our punishment is that we see the dawn before the rest of the world. So may we dream this Advent. May we imagine the Advent way by moonlight, opening up to see the dawn before the rest of the world.
Lost and weary traveler, searching for the way to go. Stranger, heavy-hearted, longing for someone you know. May you find a light. May you find a light. May you find a light to guide you.